بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. غفر الله لنا ولشيخنا وللحاضرين والمسلمين. يقول الإمام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى في كتاب التوحيد: باب من تبرك بشجرة أو حجر ونحوهما، وقول الله تعالى: أفرأيتم اللات والعزى ومناة الثالثة الأخرى الآية. عن أبي واقد الليثي رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: خرجنا مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى حنين ونحن حدثاء أهد بكفر، وللمشركين سدرة يعكفون عندها وينوتون بها أسلحتهم يقال لها ذات أنوات، فمررنا بسدرة فقلنا: يا رسول الله، اجعل لنا ذات أنوات كما لهم ذات أنوات. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: الله أكبر، إنها السنن، قلتم والذي نفسي بيده كما قالت بنو إسرائيل موسى: اجعل لنا إلها كما لهم آلهة، قال: إنكم قوم تجهلون، لتركبن سنن ما كان من كان قبلكم. رواه الترمذي وصححه.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأن محمدا عبد الله وخليله ورسوله، أرسله رحمة للعالمين، فهدى الله به جل وعلا فئاما من الناس، أخرجهم به من الظلمات إلى النور، فأعلى الله جل وعلا نور الحق وأذل الباطل وأهله، فلله الحمد على نعمه التي لا تحصى. وفي هذا الحديث، هذا البيت الذي عقده شيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله عليه، فيما يتعلق بالتبرك بالشجر أو الأحجار ونحوها، وأن ذلك من عبادتها، فالله جل وعلا يقول: فرأيتم اللات والعزى ومناة الثالثة الأخرى ألكم الذكر وله الأنثى تلك إذا قسمة ضيزى إن هي إلا أسماء سميتموها أنتم وآباؤكم ما أنزل الله بها من سلطان يتبعون إلا الظن وما تهوى الأنفس ولقد جاءهم من ربهم الهدى. فربنا جل وعلا يبين عبادة كفار العرب، وأنهم يعبدون اللات والعزى ومناة، فاللات يزعمون أنه كان يلث الناس السويقة للحجاج يتصدق وأنه فيه صلاة، والعزى هي التي اعتنت بها قريش ومن حولها، ولهذا يقول أبو سفيان في عام الخندق: لنا العزى ولا عزى لكم. فقال النبي: ردوا عليه. قالوا: ما نقول؟ قال: قولوا الله مولانا ولا مولى لكم. ومناة الثالثة الأخرى، هذا الصنم كان لي الأوس والخزرج يطوفون عليه، وكلها لا تنفع أحدا ولكن تضر بسبب عبادتهم لها. ثم الله جل وعلا ينعى عن العرب: هذه أسماء مؤنثة، اللات والعزى ومناة. فالله يقول لهم ويستهزئ بهم: هذه قسمة سيئة تختارون لأنفسكم ما تريدون. ثم قال: إن هي إلا أسماء سميتموها، أي باطلة. حديث أبي واقد رضي الله عنه يقول: خرجنا مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ونحن حدثاء عهد بكفر، يعني أن إسلامنا قريب. خرجوا مع النبي في سفر صلوات الله وسلامه عليه في مغازيه، وهم حديث عهد قريبين بالكفر، عبادة الأصنام الخاصة والعامة. الأصنام العامة كاللات والعزى ومناة، والخاصة لبعض القبائل دون بعض، هذه التي يختارونها يحتر كل أحد ما يشاء يتعبد له يصنع له صنما إلى غير ذلك، فأنقذهم الله لمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. يقول: خرجنا مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى حنين، يعني بعد فتح مكة في نفس عام الفتح، وللمشركين السدرة يعكفون عندها وينوطون يعلقون، ينوطون أسلحتهم بها، يعني يعلقون أسلحتهم بالسدرة، يظن أن هذه فيها خير وبركة، وأن السلاح إذا علق بها يكون سلاحا ماضيا يعني تافكا. فقلنا: يا رسول الله اجعل لنا ذات أنواع، نريد ما يريد هؤلاء، أن أسلحتنا يكون فيها بركة. يقول: فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم: الله أكبر، إنها السنن، يعني أن هذه هي الطرائق الموروثة. قلتم: والذي نفسي بيده، كما قالت بنو إسرائيل لموسى. بنو إسرائيل لما خرجوا واجتازوا البحر وأطبق البحر على فرعون وقومه، وجدوا أناسا يعكفون على أصنام لهم، يعني يعكفون عندها، يبقون عندها، يتعبدون عند الصنم. فما كان من بني إسرائيل إلا أن قالوا لموسى: اجعل لنا إله كما لهم آلهة. يعني الناس يحبون يقلدون بعضهم بغير هدى. فقال عليه موسى لهم: إنكم قوم تجهلون، يعني ما عندكم علم ولا معرفة، ماذا يصنع هذا الصنم بهؤلاء الجهال؟ فالنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام أخبر أن هذه السنن بالخليقة الضال، الحاضر يقتدي بالضال السابق، لأن الشيطان يجري بسرعة يدعو الناس إلى الضلال، يسول لهم ويملي لهم ويعدهم ويمنيهم، وما يعدهم الشيطان إلا غرورا. ثم قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لأصحابه: لا تركبن سنن من كان قبلكم. في هذا الحديث، هذا ليس في الصحيحين لكنه حديث صحيح، رواه الترمذي وقال حديث صحيح. حديث الآخر يقول النبي للصحابة: تتبعن سنن من كان قبلكم، هذوا القذة بالقذة، حتى لو دخلوا جحر الضب لدخلتموه. فقال الصحابة: اليهود والنصارى؟ قال: فمن، يعني من هم الناس الذين يقتدى بهم إلا اليهود والنصارى؟ في هذا الكتاب، في هذا الكتاب، في هذا الكتاب اللي هو الباب الثامن، ذكر المؤلف رحمة الله عليه: السنن هو الطريق، السنن هي طرق، جمع سنة، سنة وسنة يجمع على سنن، يعني أن الناس سوف يركبون السنن التي ركبها الناس السابقون فيقتدون بفعلهم. ولهذا قال في الحديث الثاني الآخر المخرج في الصحيحين: حتى لو دخلوا جحر ضب لدخلتموه. وفي حديث آخر قال: حتى لو أن أحد منهم أتى أمه علانية لكان في أمتي من يفعل ذلك. يقول فيه مسألة، المسألة الأولى تفسير آية والنجم، وهي قوله: أفرأيتم اللات والعزى، يعني هذه الآية وما يتبعها فيها نعي على العرب في عقولهم، يتخذون آلهة لا تستطيع أن تنصرهم ولا أن ترزقهم ولا أن تشفيهم، ولكنه الشيطان يغريهم. يقول الثاني: إن ما عرفت صورة الأمر الذي طلبوا. يقول فيها مطالب هؤلاء الناس يطلبون أن تنصرهم، ولذلك قالوا في الآية الأخرى: ما نعبدهم إلا ليقربونا إلى الله زلفى. العرب في جاهليتهم مقتنعون أن هذه الأصنام ما تخلق ولا ترزق، ولكن يرون أن لها جاها عند الله ومنزلة، كما فعل قوم نوح عليه السلام عندما قالوا ولا تذرن ودا ولا سواع ولا يغوث ويعوق ونسرا، قيل انهم كانوا رجالا صالحين لما ماتوا وكان الناس يقتدون بهم، الشيطان جاء اليهم وقال يخشى عليكم ان تنسوهم، صوروا لهم صور حتى تذكرونهم. ثم بعد ذلك اغراهم بان يتقربوا الى الصور ثم صاروا يعبدونهم.
يقول معرفة صورة الأمر الذي طلبوا، ثالثة
كونهم لم يفعلوا، ما فعلوا، ما ذهبوا يعلقون لكن طلبوا أن النبي يختار لهم شيئا من ذلك.
الرابع كونهم قصدوا التقرب إلى الله بذلك لظنهم أنه يحبه.
وفي الغالب أن الناس ما يقعون في أنهم ينصبون أنفسهم أعداء لله، لكن الشيطان يغريهم ويقول لهم الله يحب هذا، تقربوا. أغوى الشيطان آدم، قال إن الله ما نهاك عن هذه الشجرة إلا خشيت أن تكون ملك، أن تكونوا ملائكة
أو تكونوا مخلدين. والخامسة أنهم إذا جهلوا هذا فغيرهم أولى. يقول إذا كان الصحابة رضي الله عنهم جهلوا بعض هذه الأمور
وقالوا للنبي اجعل لنا ذات أنواط، مع أن النبي بين أظهرهم يحدثهم ويبلغهم بخبر السماء، فالذي يأتي بعدهم إذا لم يوفقه الله يكون أجهل.
فسنهم قالوا أنه أن لهم من الحسنات والوعد المغفرة ما ليس لغيرهم،
يعني أن الصحابة لأنهم صدقوا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم واتبعوه لهم من المغفرة والحسنات ما ليس للشخص الذي لم يرى المبلغ عن الله ولم يشاركه في سفر ولم يشاركه في قتال للكفار.
يقول السابع أن النبي لم يعذرهم
لما قالوا له جعلنا ذات أنواط، هي في ظاهر الحال تعلق هذه الأسلحة، يعلق الرمح بهذه الشجرة اللي هم يطلبونها، السيف يعلق، القوس يعلق، يعني أرادوا أن يستفيدوا من أن تكون هذه معلقة في هذه الشجرة. النبي ما عذر
بل قال إنها السنن، قلتم الذي نفسي بيده كما قالت بنو إسرائيل لموسى اجعل لنا إلها،
هؤلاء ما العرب ما قالوا اجعل لنا إلها، وإنما قالوا اجعل لنا شجرة نعلق عليها الأسلحة ما دام التعليق ينفع.
ثامنا الأمر الكبير هو المقصود أن النبي أخبر أن طلبهم كطلب بني إسرائيل،
أي أنهم طلبوا أن يكون لهم إله غير الله، والذي يطلب إله غير الله يكون في ضلال بالغ.
تاسعا أن نفي هذا من معنى لا إله إلا الله يعني أن اتحاد ذات أنواط
لا يحق يقضي على تحقيق لا إله إلا الله، لأنهم يريدون هذه الأنواط تنفعهم، يكون هذا السيف المعلق بهذه الشجرة أكثر فتكا من سيف لم يعلق، ضلال منهم.
عشر أنه حلف
النبي لما قالوا جعلنا إلها جعلنا ذات أنواط، حلف أن هذا كان فعل بني إسرائيل، هو مصدق بدون حلف، لكن لا مانع أن يحلف الإنسان على الأمر الهام ليؤكد للسامعين
شأن هذا الشيء المحلوف عليه. النبي قال إنها السنن تتبعن، الله أكبر، إنها السنن. ويتسعى أن ما في هذا هذا ينفي، لأن ما دام الله يقول لا إله إلا الله
وهؤلاء يريدون التبرك بهذه الشجرة، إذا ما تحقق عندهم لا إله إلا الله، لأن البركة لا تؤخذ إلا من فضل الله.
وأشر أن حلف على الفتية
الإنسان لو كان مصدق بما يقول، لكن إذا أراد أن يحقق ما يريد أن يتحدث عنه حلف، والذي نفسي بيده غير ما يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو مصدق ولو لم يحلف.
يقول الحادي عشر أن الشرك فيه أكبر وأصغر، لأنهم لم يرتدوا بهذا، هم ما ارتدوا لكنهم طلبوا أن يكون تكون هذه الشجرة تؤثر في أسلحتهم طمعا في النصر على الكافرين، إلا أنها ما دام أنها يلتمس منها البركة بغير ما أذن الله جل وعلا به صارت ضلالا. والنبي ما قال لهم توبوا قولوا لا إله إلا الله، مع أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال في مثل ذلك، يقول إذا قال أحد والعزة كفرتها أن يقول لا إله إلا الله، يعني إذا حلف بغير الله فليقل لا إله إلا الله. كما أن من قال لآخر تعال أقامرك، يعني يشتغل معك بالقمار الميسر، كفرت هذه الدعوة أن يتصدق. هو طلب المقامرة ليحصل على مال، إذن فليبذل المال في وجه الله. يقول الثانية عشرة قولهم نحن حدثاء وعهد بكفر، يعني هذا بواقد، يقول يعني يا من يبلغهم خبرنا اعذرونا، لأنه ما بعد رسخ الإيمان في قلوبنا، كنا حديث عهد بالكفر. النبي قال لعائشة لولا أن قومك حدثاء عهد بكفر لهدمت الكعبة وأدخلت الحجر فيها. إذن النبي ترك هدم الكعبة وإدخال الحجر فيها خشية أن يشوش ذلك على المشركين وغير الكعبة، فتركها على بقائها، لأن المقصود للطواف بها حاصل. والثالثة عشرة التكبير عند التعجب، إذا قال لمن كره النبي لما قال له أصحابه اجعل لنا ذات أنواط كما لهم ذات أنواط، قال الله أكبر، إنها السنن، قلتم والذي نفسي بيده. يعني لما يأتي الإنسان شيء ينبغي أن يفزع إلى تعظيم الله، لأن تعظيم الله هو الذي يخزي الشيطان. ذلك الشيطان إذا سمع المؤذن يؤذن أدبر هاربا، ثم إذا انتهى الأذان رجع يلبس على الناس، ثم إذا سمع الإقامة أدبر هاربا. فالإنسان يحتاج إلى أن يكون كثير الذكر لله بصوت يسمعه من معه. ثم الرابع سد الذرائع، يعني أن هذه الشجرة التي شدد النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام بالرد عليهم حينما طلبوها، لأنها ذريعة إلى الشرك الأكبر. فكل واحد لو لم يعلق سلاحه وما انتصر على العدو، فالنبي بيّن لهم أن هذا التصرف تصرف لا يليق بأهل الإيمان. الخامسة عشرة النهي عن التشبه بأهل الجاهلية. الصحابة لما مروا بقوم المشركين في عام الفتح بعد أن فتح الله مكة على رسوله، لما مروا بالمشركين المعلقين، لأنه ما بعد انتشر الإسلام في تلك اللحظات في الأحياء العربية المجاورة لمكة، فتحت مكة، ثم توجه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لغزو غزا يوم حنين وغيرها وغيرها قبل أن يرجع إلى المدينة. تقول التشبه بأهل الجاهلية في ذات الأنواع وسيلة لأن يكون الناس يذبحون لهذه الشجرة للجن الذي عنده. السد الغضب عند التعليم، يعني المعلم لما يريد أن يعلم الناس علما يستحثهم على الأخذ به وعدم التهاون بشأنه، يظهر لهم أن هذا أمر يحتاج إلى أن يتحفز المعلم في تبليغ المعلمين لأن يهتموا. السابع عشر يقول القاعدة الكلية بقوله إنها السنن، يعني الطرائق التي سلكت في السابقين ستسلك. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تقوم الساعة حتى تضطرب على آيات النساء دوس حول هذه الفرصة سنم في جنوب الجزيرة. الثامنة عشرة أن أهل أن هذا علم من علم من أعلام النبوة يكونه وقع كما أخبر. يقول إن هذه الواقعة هذا الذي حدث أن يقوله الناس هذه من الأعلام المغيبة الناس ما كانوا يعرفون عنها شيئا فأخبر بها النبي لأن هذه من أعلام النبوة لأن النبي يخبر الأمور ستكون فربما كانت في السابق وربما أنه أيضا لم يحن وقت حدوثها لكن كل ما أخبر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه سوف يكون حتما سيكون حتما سيكون. يقول الثامنة عشرة على من أعلم النبوة يعني وقوع هذا الشيء. التاسعة عشرة أن كل ما ذمه الله ما ذم الله به اليهود والنصارى في القرآن أنه لنا. يقول ما الشيء الذي ذم النبي أقول الله جل وعلا اليهود فيه على عملهم به أيضا ذم لنا لو فعلنا كما فعلوا. ولهذا يحتاج المسلم أن يحذر مشابهة أهل الكتاب. ولهذا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من تشبه بقوم فهو منهم. العشرون أنه متقرر عند المسلمين عند الصحابة أن العبادات مبناها على الأمر يعني العبادة ليس فيها اجتهاد. لا يكون الواحد يجتهد يقول أنا أحب أنا أختار لي نوعا من العبادة أتعبد الله هذا لا. العبادة لا يتعبد الله إلا بما شرعه الله ورسوله. ولذلك حديث ينبغي الواحد يحرص على حفظ هذا المثل مثل هذا الحديث من عمل عملا ليس عليه أمرنا فهو رد. حديث في صحيح مسلم وفي لفظ في البخاري ومسلم وفي لفظ من أحدث في أمرنا هذا ما ليس منه فهو رد. لا بد العبادات يقول العلماء الأصل فيها التوقيف لما يكون واحد مخير يتعبد كما يشاء. يأتي واحد يقول الله أنا بأختار أخص يوم الأحد بعبادات وأكثر فيه ثم يترك البقية مثلا لا. الذي شرعه الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم لأمته علينا ما شرعه إيجابا أن نأخذ به بوجوبه وما شرعه تطوعا نأخذه تقربا إلى الله بالتطوع وما شرعه لنا أيضا لبعض حاجاتنا نأخذ به كما في حديث صلاة الاستخارة توضأ الواحد يحسن الوضوء ثم يصلي ركعتين ليست فريضة وليست أيضا من الرواتب وإنما يخص بهما الاستخارة ثم يدعو بدعاء الاستخارة. المشروع أنه متقرر أن العبادات مبناها على الأمر يعني العبادات ليست فيها استحسان. ولذلك بهذا المثال التقرب إلى الله باليوم المولد هذا تقرب باطل لأن النبي ما اتخذ لنفسه يوم المولد وأصحابه يعرفون يوم مولده صلى الله عليه وسلم ولم يخصوا يوم المولد بعبادة والتابعون لم يخصوا المولد بعبادة وأتباع التابعين لم يخصوا المولد بعبادة وهؤلاء هم الذين شهد لهم النبي بأنهم خير الناس. النبي قال صلى الله عليه وسلم خير الناس يعني على الإطلاق يعني بعد الأنبياء والرسل خير الناس بعد الأنبياء والرسل القرن الذين بعثت فيهم هؤلاء أصحاب محمد. قال ثم الذين يلونهم الذين يلون الصحابة التابعون وهم خير الناس بعد الصحابة ثم الذين يلونهم أتباع التابعين وهم خير الناس بعد التابعين وبعد الصحابة رضي الله عنهم وبعد الرسل. فالعبادات مبناها الأمر. فضائل الأيام لا نعرفها إلا عن طريق الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. مثل يوم الاستقلال يوم الفتح يوم يوم كل هذه أيام بدعية. النبي لما جاء للمدينة كان للعرب في المدينة الأوس والخزرج أيام أفراح يصير لهم فيها طرب ولعب وأكل. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله أبطل عيد الجاهلية بعيدي الفطر والأضحى إذن ليس في الأمة الإسلامية عيد سوى عيدي الفطر والأضحى، والأضحى يتبعه أيام التشريق، أيام أكل وشرب وذكر لله. فهؤلاء الذين يحدثون فضائل، هنا نقف تعريجا، جماعة التبليغ فيهم خير كثير، لكن فيهم أشياء يلزمون أنفسهم بها ما فيها حديث صحيح عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. إذن لا يصح لأحد أن يلزم نفسه بعمل معين يرى أنه تقرب إلى الله إلا ما كان من النذر. النذر له حكم خاص، مع أن الذي نهى عن النذر وقال إياكم والنذر فإن النذر لا يأتي بخير وإنما يستخرج به من البخيل، لكن إذا نذر الواحد نذر المشروع شرعيا قربة إلى الله وجب عليه أن يفي بالنذر، إلا إذا كان النذر نذر ما لا يملك أو نذر شيئا لا يستطيع القيام به. قلنا عبادات مبناها الأمر، التنبيه على مسائل القبر، أما من ربك واضح، وأما من نبيك فمن أخباره بأنباء الغيب، وأما ما دينك فمن قولهم اجعل لنا إلها إلى آخر، يعني أن هذا له علاقة بالقبر. النبي هو المشرع، فكون الناس يبون ذات أنواط هذا خطأ، وهم يريدون أن يشرع لهم غير ما شرعه الله. ولذلك يدخل في حديث أن الإنسان في قبره يسأل عن ثلاث، يسأل عن دينه، عن ربه ودينه، وهذا الذي بعث فينا. المؤمن يقول رضي الله، ما دينك؟ دين الإسلام. من نبيك؟ محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. الضائع المضيع يقول ها ها لا أدري، سمعت الناس يقولون شيئا فقلت. إلى يضرب بمرزبة في القبر يسمعه كل سامع إلا الجن والإنس ما يسمعونه. ولذلك الجن والإنس وهم المكلفون لا يسمعون ماذا تقول الجنازة. الجنازة وهي محمولة على أكتاف الرجال إذا حملت، إن كانت صالحة قالت عجلوني عجلوني، وإن كانت غير صالحة قالت يا ويلها أين يذهبون به تصرخ. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يسمعها كل شيء إلا الإنس والجن. والله المستعان. يقول 21 أن سنة أهل الكتاب مذمومة كسنة المشركين، يعني ما سنه أهل الكتاب لأنفسهم لا يجوز للمسلمين أن يستنوا به إلا ما جاء شرعنا وأقره. الله لما قال وكتبنا عليهم فيها أن النفس بالنفس والعين بالعين إلى آخره، ليس معناه أنه لا مكتوب عليهم، لكن لأن الله شرعه لنا في أمور كانت مشروعة لمن قبلنا، كان إسرائيل حرمها على نفسه لكن لم تحرم علينا. إسرائيل حرم على نفسها أكل لحم الإبل ولم يحرم علينا. والثاني 22 أن المنتقل من الباطل الذي اعتاده قلبه لا يؤمن أن يكون في قلبه بقية من تلك العادة، لقولهم ونحن حدثاء عهد بكفر. ما في لا شك الإنسان يألف ما عاش عليه دهرا طويلا، ولذلك كان مما تبرته العرب من جاهليتهم قول أفلح وأبيه إن صدق. كلمة أبيه هذه حلف، لكن لما لم تكن مقصودة عفي عنها، لأنها جارت مجرى الكلام الذي بدون تعقل يقوله الإنسان. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ونحن حدث عهد، يقول للصحابة رضي الله عنه يعني اعذرونا يا من يبلغهم هذا الخبر عنا، كنا في حديث عهد ما دخلنا بالإسلام إلا من أيام، ما عرفنا ماذا سيكون وما ينبغي أن يكون الناس عليه، لأن الباطل عشش في القلوب مدة طويلة. اقتلاع الباطل الذي قد عرق في قلب ابن آدم يحتاج إلى جد واجتهاد وصبر وتذكر. عمر لما قال وآبي قال إن الله ينهاكم أن تحلفوا بآبائكم، يقول عمر فما قلتها بعد يومئذ لا ذاكرا ولا منشئا، يعني ما قلت ما حلفت بها ولا ذكرت عن قول أحد. أسأل الله جل وعلا أن يثبت في قلوبنا الحق ويرزقنا الثبات عليه وتثبيته في قلوب ناشئاتنا، وأن يصلح حالنا وحال بلادنا والبلاد الإسلامية في كل أمورها، وأن يجيرنا من الفتن ما ظهر منها وما بطن بمنه وكرمه.
الشيخ حفظه الله تعالى began by praising Allah Azza wa Jal by sending salams upon our beloved Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one that Allah Azza wa Jal sent as a mercy to mankind, and through him Allah Azza wa Jal, or by way of him Allah Azza wa Jal guided the people from darkness to light. This chapter that we the Shaykh Hafizullah Ta'ala explained tonight was the chapter of seeking the blessings from trees or rocks or the likes. And Shaykh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab Rahimahullah Ta'ala mentioned this chapter, and in it is a clarification of these false deities which were worshipped before the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and during the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the Arab during the time of the Messenger, or before the time of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they used to worship these false idols. They used to worship these false idols, Al-Lat, Wal-Uzza, Wa-Manat. They used to worship these false idols. Al-Lat was this individual who, it said he used to, he used to feed the poor, or he used to feed the people during the time of Hajj.
تعرف السويق؟
سن؟
تعرف السويق؟
السويق؟
تعرفه؟
سقيق؟
سقيق؟ لا. لا. السويق يعني حبوب محمصة، يعني محموسة حمص، في حبوب كقمح أو ذرة، ثم إذا حمست تطحن طحين، ثم يشيلونها في الفيس، فلت السويق يعني يخلط مع الماء فيأكلها الناس لأنه أصبح كأنه مطبوخ، يعني لما حمس على النار هذا هو السويق، وهو الذي يقول فيه النبي انزل فاجدح لنا، يعني يخلط السويق على الماء حتى نفطر في سفرهم ما معهم شيء غيره.
I mentioned that he used to feed the poor, or he used to feed the people during Hajj, and the actual word which was used was سويق. And سويق was actually it's a form, it's like a beans, and they grind the beans and then they mix it with water and then they feed individuals. So this individual used to do that, and at the place that this individual died and was buried, they used to take it as an idol. And Uzza, this was another false deity that the people of Quraysh, Quraysh used to worship. It was in Mecca, and the people of Quraysh in Mecca and around Mecca, and other false deities that they used to worship. And you had those deities that they used to worship which were general, and you had those deities that they used to worship which were specific. The ones that were general, like Lat and Uzza and Manat, these were the general. All of the people, the Arab, used to worship these general idols. And then you had the specific idols that they used to worship, which were every individual took his own idol. Every individual, he took his own, he made his own idol. Meaning, he made something and he worshipped it. He made something himself and he worshipped it. So you had those that were worshipped in general, and you had those that were worshipped specifically by each individual. And Al-Manat, that was the idol which was worshipped by Al-Aws wal Khazraj, the two tribes of Al-Madinah. They used to worship those, that particular idol. And of course, all of these idols do not benefit. Of course, all of these idols, they do not benefit, but in fact, they bring about harm, because once the people began to worship them, then it brought about harm for the people who were worshipping them. And in these verses, the verse that was mentioned in Surah Al-Najm, Allah Ta'ala is Allah Subhanahu wa Taala is admonishing the Arab for their worship of these idols. And the verses mentioned, you see Allat wal-Uzza wa Manat al-Thalithat al-Ukhra, and then Allah Subhanahu wa Taala continued the verse to admonish them for that which they worship, informing them that it's incorrect. Informing them that it's incorrect. Then going on to the hadith of Abi Waqid al-Layth radiallahu ta'ala, where he said, we went out with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and we were new Muslims. We were new Muslims. We had recently entered into the fold of Islam. And they saw this lot tree. They saw this lot tree. And the Shaykh mentioned, Habibullah ta'ala, that this was after the conquering of Mecca. This was after the conquering of Mecca. The same year that they conquered Mecca, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went around to different areas to conquer those areas before he went back to Al-Madinah. Before he returned to Medina, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to different areas to conquer these areas outside of Mecca. And they passed by this lot tree, and the disbelievers during the days of ignorance, they used to hang their weapons on this lot tree, and they had the belief that if they did so, it would strengthen their weapons. They had the belief that if they did so, it would strengthen their weapons, it would give blessing to their weapons. So the Sahaba, because of the fact that they were had newly entered into the fold of Islam, they requested from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to do so. They requested from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to give them a tree that they can hang their weapons, similar to what was done by the disbelievers. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made takbir. And he said, verily, this is sunan. This is something that you're doing that was similar to the people of the past. Something that you're doing which is similar to the people of the past. And this actually took place with the Bani Israel when they went out with Musa alayhi salatu salam, and they were leaving the Fir'aun and the likes. They passed by. They said to Musa, give us a god just like the disbelievers, they have their god. And the Shaykh mentioned, Habibullah ta'ala, is that this is true. Yani, you have people that follow others, even if it's incorrect. You have people that follow others, even if it's incorrect. People love to follow, they love to imitate and follow others. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he responded to them by saying, verily, you are ignorant. You're doing this, you don't have any knowledge, you don't have any understanding. You just want to follow the people that came before you. And that was the same thing that was mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning the people of now want to follow the people of the past. The people now, they want to follow the people of the past, even if some of the people that they're choosing to follow are upon deviation. Even if they are upon deviation. And the reason why is because the shaitan, he calls the people to deviation. The shaitan, he calls the people to deviation. The shaitan promises you, he makes it seem beautiful to you, he makes it seem attractive to you, and verily he only calls you to that which is evil. Verily he only calls you to that which is evil. And this hadith, the hadith of Abu Waqid al-Layth, it's not in Sahih Bukhari nor in Sahih Muslim, it's in Tirmidhi, although it is authentic. And there is another hadith which is similar to it, which is present in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, you will follow the ways of the people that came before you, step by step, even if they were to enter into like a lizard's hole, you would also enter into that hole. And the Sahaba, when they heard that statement of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they said, are you referring to the Jews and the Christians? Meaning we would follow the ways of the Jews and the Christian. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, yes, you would follow the ways of the Jews and the Christians. So this chapter informs us that shows you how people would follow those who came before them. How people would follow those who came before them, even if it was something incorrect. And there was another narration, similar to that same narration that we just mentioned, where the Prophet ﷺ said, even if you would follow the ways of the people that came before you, even if one of them were to have sexual relations with his mother in public, it would be individuals from my ummah that would do the same thing. There will actually be individuals from my ummah, from my followers, that would do the same thing. And then the Shaykh Hafizullah Ta'ala went into the issues pertaining to this chapter. And from them is that Allah Ta'ala is admonishing. Allah Azza wa Jalla in the Quran is admonishing the people that used to worship the false deities. And there's no doubt that the Arab who were worshipping the idols, they knew that these idols could not provide for them. And they knew that these idols could not cure them. But even though they knew that, they still used to worship them, to show you the level of the ignorance that they were involved in. And and there was also idols, you know, the idols that were worshipped during the time of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, similar to that, yani, during the time of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, or before Nuh, there was religious individuals, and the people used to have great reverence for them. And when those individuals died, the shaitan came to them and said, why don't you make pictures of them so that you can remember them? So the people made pictures of them and they would remember them. And then when those people, when that generation died, the following generation began to worship those pictures, to show you how the shaitan would lead the people astray. Another issue, the second one is to the fact that they did not, and in the Sahaba, the Prophet ﷺ did not make a tree for them, and they did not hang their weapons. But it's to show you that they were seeking it. They were seeking it because of the fact that they were had newly entered into Islam. They did seek it from the Prophet, a place where they could hang their weapons so that there would be barakah in their weapons. Another issue, they did so to seek closeness to Allah. They did so to seek closeness to Allah. Meaning, the Shaykh mentioned Habibullah Ta'ala, a person, when they do something like this, they don't want to be an enemy. They don't do so because they want to be an enemy, but they do so to seek nearness to Allah Azza wa Jal. But and this is the deception of the shaitan. There's no doubt that this is the deception of the shaitan, similar to what he did to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Similar to what he did to Adam. He came to Adam when Adam was in Jannah, and he said, verily Allah has forbidden you from this tree. Verily Allah has forbidden you from this tree so that you would not become an angel or the likes. So Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, when Adam disobeyed Allah, he didn't intend to disobey Allah, but he did so to gain nearness to Allah. So to show you that, you know, people can possibly do things which are wrong, but they do it with the intention to get near to Allah, and it's, of course, it's not accepted. And the fifth point, to show you that if the companions, if these individuals who were with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and their companions, these individuals were with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they're in his company, and they were ignorant of this affair, to show you that other people that come after them would even be more ignorant of this affair. And if the companions, those who lived with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those who kept the company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, were ignorant of this affair as it relates to Tawheed, then there's no doubt that people that come after them would even be more ignorant of this affair. Another point, to show you the merits of the Sahaba, even though they were ignorant of this affair, the merits of the Sahaba, because the Sahaba, they believed in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they assisted the Prophet, and they fought with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during his wars and the likes of that, shows you the great merits of the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Another point of this is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not make an excuse for them. That the Prophet himself did not make an excuse for them. When they mentioned to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that they wanted a tree so that they can hang their weapons, even though they were new in Islam, but the Prophet ﷺ did not make an excuse for them. He didn't say, I'll leave them, they're new in Islam, I won't admonish them. No, the Prophet ﷺ immediately admonished them because of that which they had said. Another point is that that which they sought, they did not seek to have a God like Bani Israel sought. Bani Israel said, اجعل لنا إلها كما لهم آلهة. Bani Israel said, give us a Lord just like they have a Lord. Give us an idol just like they have an idol. And the companions didn't seek that. The companions said, give us a tree so we can hang our weapons, just as they had a tree that they can hang their weapons. And the Prophet ﷺ made a comparison between the two. The Prophet ﷺ said, verily you have said just like they have said. So to show you the extent of the affair, to show you that it's deviation, and it's you know, it was something extreme, and it was something tremendous. Although that which the companions sought, another issue is that that which the companions sought was not a god, like we mentioned, it was not a god. But even with that being the case, so it didn't take them out of the fold of Islam. But it was something tremendous, and it was something that would lead. It was something that could possibly lead in the future. If they acted upon it, it was something that could lead to major shirk. It was something that could lead to major shirk. So the Prophet ﷺ, he nipped it in the bud, and he admonished them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another point is that the Prophet ﷺ swore without being requested to swear. The Prophet ﷺ swore without being requested to swear. And it's possible that a person does so. It's permissible that you swear, you know, you say, wallahi, he said, walladhi nafsi biyadi. He said, I swear by the one who my soul is in his hands. Meaning he's swearing by Allah. And they didn't request from the Prophet ﷺ to swear. But it's permissible for a person to do so if he wants to make sure, or he wants to make the listener sure that he's being truthful in that which he's saying. It's no problem in the person doing so. Likewise, we also mentioned the companions, when they said so, they did not leave the fold of Islam. They did not leave the fold of Islam. They were simply seeking a tree that if they hang their weapons, it would bring about barakah, and the Prophet ﷺ admonished them for doing so. And the Prophet ﷺ didn't tell them that they had to come back into the fold of Islam. That shows you that they did not leave the fold of Islam, because the Prophet ﷺ didn't say to them, seek refuge in Allah and come back into the fold of Islam. He didn't say that to them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which showed you that statement that they said was not something to take them out of the fold of Islam. Also, the companion, he said, Abu Waqid al-Layth, he said, verily we were new. We had newly entered into the fold of Islam. And this was similar to the statement of the Prophet ﷺ with Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, where the Prophet ﷺ said, if it wasn't for the fact that your people were new in Islam, I would have destroyed the Kaaba. I would have destroyed the Kaaba and placed it and built it out how it was originally built by Ibrahim. And the Kaaba was originally built by Ibrahim in one way, with three flat walls and one round wall. So the Prophet ﷺ said, if it wasn't for the fact that your people had newly entered into Islam, I would have destroyed the Kaaba and I would have rebuilt it like it was actually built by Ibrahim. So the Prophet ﷺ left that because of the fact that people had newly entered into Islam. And he did so that he would not cause problems, so he would not make it difficult, so he would not, you know, cause problems for the people that had newly entered into Islam. And there's no doubt it's not obligatory for him to do it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because the people still have the ability to make the tawaf. The people still have the ability to make the correct tawaf. Another point is that the permissibility of saying the takbir at something surprising. Permissibility of saying the takbir at something surprising. And the Shaykh mentioned, Hafizullah ta'ala, that when something is amazing, when something is tremendous, the person should immediately remember Allah. When something is tremendous, the person should immediately remember Allah, and this would be a means for the shaitan, you know, going away. This would be a means for the shaitan going away. As is mentioned in the adhan and the iqamah, that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, when the adhan is called, the shaitan goes away, and then he comes back, and when the iqamah is called, he goes away, and then he comes back. So the Shaykh mentioned, the believer is in constant need of remembering Allah. The believer is in constant need of remembering Allah, and he should do so that it can be heard by others around him. He should do so in a manner which can be heard by others who are around him. Another point is that there's no doubt that this type of thing, which was sought by the Sahaba, it can lead to major shirk. It can lead to major shirk, because now it's being said, let's have a tree so we can hang our weapons. But in the future, it's possible the next thing you know, they're slaughtering at this tree, and they're seeking something from the tree itself. So there's no doubt that this thing can lead to that which is major. Can lead to that which is major. Another point is that shows you that the teacher, an individual who is teaching, if he wants to show his students the importance of a particular subject, and because the author, Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned that the teacher can become angry while he's teaching. So the Sheikh mentioned, Habibullah ta'ala, yes, it's legislated and it's permissible that when the teacher is teaching and he wants to make his students understand the importance of a particular subject, he wants to make them realize that this is important, then he should show them and he should teach them in a manner that they understand that this is something extremely important and they should not be negligent of. Sunan, you know, the path that people follow and the likes of that. This also, this statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it shows you, yani it's something that affirms that he was a prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's something that affirms that he was a prophet, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed them about something that took place before their time. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not present when Musa was there, and the Sahaba, they were not present when Musa was there, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them of something that took place before their time. It's something that affirms that he was a prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it's from the belief, as a Muslim, we must understand that whatever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed that would take place, it would take place. There's no doubt that it would take place. Whenever the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed that something would take place, it would, without a doubt, it would take place. Another point is that whatever Allah Azza wa Jal has admonished the Jews and the Christians for in the Quran, it is also a warning for us. Whatever Allah Ta'ala has admonished the Jews and the Christians for in the Quran, it is also a warning for us. And you have this in the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Shaykh mentioned it's important that we memorize this, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man tashabbaha biqawmin fa huwa minhum." Whoever imitates a people, he's from amongst them. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is warning his followers that they should not follow the ways of the people that came before them. Another point is that this statement shows you that it was something understood with the Sahaba, is that worship, matters of worship, there's no ijtihad. A person cannot make up his own form of worship. A person cannot make up his own individual form of worship. A person cannot say that I want to worship Allah on a specific day, I want to worship Allah in a specific manner. No, it is only from Allah, the legislation of Allah, and that which was informed to us by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man amila amalan laysa alayhi amruna fa huwa radd." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Whoever does an action which is not in accordance with our affair, it is rejected." And likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Whoever invents in our affair that which is not from it, it is also rejected." So the asl, the origin of ibadah, the origin of worship, is that it is tawqifiyya. It's in need of a proof. It's in need of a proof. Na'am. And then the Shaykh mentioned an example of that. Is that whatever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us that it's obligatory, it's wajib, we have to hold it to be wajib. We have to hold it to be obligatory. Whatever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us that it's recommended, we have to hold it to be recommended. And whatever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam legislated that we do in times of need, we do it only in times of need. And an example of that, he mentioned Salat al-Istikhara. Salat al-Istikhara is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us that we perform it when we are in our need of making a decision. So a person treats it as it was legislated. He only does it to make a decision. And the Shaykh mentioned an example, Habibullah Ta'ala, such as the birthday of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. An example of an innovation is the fact that people now, they celebrate the birthday of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said this is incorrect. It wasn't done by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He didn't celebrate his birthday. It wasn't done by the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They did not celebrate the Mawlid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they were the best of the people. They were the best of the people. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Khairun nasi." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The best of the people are my people," meaning the Sahaba. And the Prophet's birthday was not celebrated by the Sahaba. Then those who came after them, the Tabi'un, they were the best after the Prophets and the companions, who were the best, the Tabi'un. And they also didn't celebrate the birthday of the Prophet ﷺ. And then those who came after them, the Atba' al-Tabi'een, they were the best after the Prophets and the Messengers, and after the companions, and after the Tabi'un, they were the best, and they did not celebrate the Prophet's birthday sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he mentioned Habibullah Ta'ala, like making specific days, a person saying this day is for something special and likes of that. This was something not known. This was something not performed by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We do not know the best days, we do not know the blessed days, except that we were informed by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he first came to Al-Madinah, he found Al-Aws wal-Khazraj, the two tribes of Medina, he found them celebrating specific days. On those days they would beat the drum, on those days they would eat, they would gather. the Prophet ﷺ said, verily Allah has replaced those names. Verily Allah has replaced those days. So because of that, we only have two Eid. We have Eid al-Fitr and we have Eid al-Adha. Those were the days the Prophet ﷺ legislated for us. And the Shaykh mentioned Hadith Allah Ta'ala, like for example, you have this group called Jama'at al-Tabliq. You have this group called Jama'at al-Tabliq. And it's possible that this group might have some things which are good. But the Shaykh mentioned, but they have several things which they indulge in, which were not legislated by the religion. They have many things that they indulge in, which were not legislated by the religion, so it falls under the fact that it is something invented in the religion. And then the Shaykh mentioned the fact that this hadith or this verse has something to do with the fact that people will be questioned in their graves. The fact that people will be questioned in their graves. And the Shaykh mentioned Habibul Atala, that it's something well known that the people in their graves, they will be questioned, who is their Lord, who is their Prophet, and what is their religion. And the believer, they would respond correctly that my Lord is Allah, and my religion is Islam, and that Muhammad is my messenger. And the individual who is lost, and the individual who went astray, and the individual who disbelieved, he would say, oh, I heard people say, and I said, so he won't have an answer. And then this individual would be beat. This individual would be beat, and this beating, or he would scream, and this his screaming would be heard by everything in the creation except the jinn and the humans, except the jinn and the humans. And the Shaykh mentioned that yes, we do not hear the janazah when the janazah of the believer is passing by. When the janazah of the believer is passing by, it is mentioned, speed up, so that I can receive my word. And you don't hear the janazah speaking, but the other creations, they do hear the janazah, or the other things which are in creation, they do hear the janazah speaking. And likewise, the disbeliever, they would say, I wish I do not have to go to the grave and the likes of that, but of course we do not hear them. And the Shaykh mentioned, Habib Allah Ta'ala, another point is that the ways of the people of the book, the ways of the Jews and the Christian, that which they have specified, that which they have invented for themselves, it is not permissible for us to follow them. It is not permissible for us to follow them, except if we have a proof in our legislation that we follow it. Except that we have a proof in our legislation that we follow it. For example, it's mentioned in the legislation, and you know, the soul for the soul, the eye for the eye. That's something mentioned in the legislation, and it's mentioned in our legislation. But things which are mentioned in their legislation, and it is not mentioned in our legislation, it's not permissible for us to follow them in that regard. And for example, there are things which are, for example, the Shaykh mentioned, Hafizullah Ta'ala, there were certain things that were forbidden for Bani Israel. Not by Allah, but for Bani Israel themselves. They forbid it for themselves. They forbid certain things upon themselves. In our legislation, it's permissible. Because Allah did not forbid it upon them, they forbid it upon themselves. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it permissible for us. And then he mentioned the difficulty of people changing that which they're familiar with. The difficulty in people changing that which they're familiar with. The Shaykh mentioned that a person is comfortable that which he's been upon for years. If a person is upon something for years, he's comfortable with that thing. An example of that was, it was something that was said, it was a swear that which was done during the time of the Arab, that they used to say, this person will be successful, I swear by my father. This person will be successful, I swear by my father. This was something that they used to say, because they were so familiar with it, that they used to say it all of the time. And the Prophet ﷺ said that you should not do this. The Prophet ﷺ said that you should not do this. And Umar ibn Khattab used to say this. And the Prophet ﷺ, you know, admonished him and informed him that he should not swear by his father, he should only swear by Allah. And after that, Umar ibn Khattab said, I never did it. I never did it for myself, nor did I do it, nor did I say it when I was informing of what someone else said. So Umar ibn Khattab immediately stopped. But the Shaykh mentioned, Habibullah Ta'ala, how difficult it is for people to abandon that which they were familiar with. And we find the Sahaba, Abu Waqid al-Laythi, saying that. He's saying to the people, if you hear this hadith, please excuse us, because it was something that we were familiar with. So Abu Waqid al-Laythi, he's giving an excuse for the companions. And there's no doubt, the Shaykh mentioned, for a person to abandon that which they're familiar with, it takes patience and it takes struggle. It takes patience, it takes struggle. Why? Because you're so familiar with this thing. And then the Shaykh closed by making dua, and he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us firm upon the haq, and he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us understanding of our religion and to correct the affairs of the Muslims of this land and of the other Muslim lands. يقول السائل حفظك الله تعالى هل يجوز معصية الأبوين إذا أمر بعدم أخذ العلم عن عالم معين من العلماء؟
طاعة الوالدين واجبة إلا إذا أمر بمعصية الله أو نهي عن واجب متحتم على الإنسان. إذا نهى الوالدان عن شخص يعني لا يتعلم ابنهما منه فينظر، إن كان مبتدعا فليستجب، وإن كان لا متمسكا بالسنة فيكون أمرهما لا حجة فيه، فلا يلزم أن يستقر على رأيهما، لأن تحصيل العلم لا يتوفر في كل مكان.
Question is it obligatory to obey the parents if they order? Is it obligatory to obey the parents if they order their child to not seek knowledge from a specific scholar, from a particular scholar? And the Shaykh mentioned, Habib Allah Ta'ala, it's obligatory for you to obey your parents except if they order you with sin, or except if they forbid you from something which is obligatory. So this affair has to be looked into. So the affair has to be looked into. If the parents have ordered you to abstain from seeking knowledge from a particular individual, you have to look at the affair. If that individual is an innovator, that individual who they are forbidding you from studying with is an innovator, then yes, you have to obey them. But if that individual is not an innovator and they are someone who is upon the sunnah and according to the sunnah, then you should not obey them. It's not obligatory for you to obey them. هل يجوز تجميل الصوت في الأذان والإقامة والتكبيرات في الصلاة؟
يجوز إلا أنه لا يتعدى الحد، لا يمد صل كلمات بأكثر ما مما تستحق، لأنه صار معتنيا بالصوت لا بتبليغ الذكر.
Is it permissible for the person to beautify their voice during the adhan and the iqama and the takbirat in the salah? Sheikh Habib Al Atar mentioned that it's permissible, but the person shouldn't elongate it. And by doing so, but they shouldn't elongate it past the right of the letter itself, because it's possible that because of this, that people are more focused on the voice and they're not focused on the remembrance of Allah, and the remembrance of Allah which is in the adhan or the iqama. يقول السائل حفظك الله تعالى هل يجوز الصلاة خلف الصوفي ديوبندي الذي يؤول أسماء الله وصفاته ويأخذ العلم عن علماء الشرك؟
لا يجوز. الصوفي الذي متشدد في صوفيته، لأن هؤلاء يؤول تصوفهم إلى وحدة الوجود التي عند ابن عربي فعلا.
Is it permissible to pray behind a Sufi, a Diobandi, who distorts the names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal and takes knowledge from scholars who are upon shirk? The Shaykh said it's not permissible. It's not permissible to pray behind this individual who is mutashaddid, who is extreme in his Sufism, because this type of Sufism leads to wahdat al-wujud, which is the creation is one. Allah and the creation are one. The belief that Allah and the creation are one. This belief was held by Ibn Arabi. This belief was held by Ibn Arabi and other than him. قول السائل هل يجوز التعاون مع من لا يحترم العلماء في الدعوة إلى الله؟
إذا كان لا يحترم العلماء لكن لا يتنقصهم
وإنما يترك التظاهر باحترامهم هذا تقصير منه. وأما إذا كان يذم العلماء أهل العلم الصافي الصحيح فهذا يجتنب حتى لا تحصل منه القدوة السيئة.
Question: is it permissible to work with an individual who does not respect the scholars in calling to Allah? He said, if this individual does not respect the scholars, but he does not belittle the scholars, he does not respect them, meaning he does not show his reverence for the scholars, but he does not belittle the scholars, then it's permissible. But if this individual, meaning the type of individual, he doesn't show his reverence and the likes of that, but he doesn't belittle the scholars, it's permissible to work with him. But if this individual belittles the scholars and he speaks ill of the scholars, then this type of individual should not be worked with. This type of individual should not be worked with. يقول السائل: هل يجوز للمرأة أن تلبس لباسا تصف شكل رأسها؟
إذا كانت قد سترت شعر رأسها ولا يرى منه شيء وإنما يبرز هذا اللباس أن هذا هو رأس المرأة من حيث أن يكون حجمه ليس كحجم ما قبله فلا حرج في ذلك، إلا أن الأولى بها أن تلبس الستارة لباسا يستر الجسد كله.
Is it permissible for a female to wear clothing, for her to wear clothes that it basically shows the shape of her head, clothing that shows the shape of her head? And the Sheikh mentioned, as long as her hair is covered and nothing from her hair is showing, but the only thing that can be seen is the fact that her head is a certain size, then that's not a problem. But it's preferred that she wears clothing which totally covers her head. قول السائل: هل المصاب بالمرض النفسي مع هل المصاب بمرض النفس بمرض نفسي معذور في تركه للصلاة؟
المصاب بمرض نفسي لا يظهر من تصرفه أنه عاقل، يكون هذا المرض النفسي الذي يستولي على مشاعره فلا يحسن، هذا يكون معذور لأنه داخل بالجنون. وأما كونه عنده مرض نفسي تعب وتخيلات فعليه أن يؤدي الصلاة على حسب استطاعته.
The person who has psychological illness, individual who has a psychological illness, is this individual excused for not praying? The Sheikh mentioned the person who has a psychological illness and it's come to the point where they have no control over their actions. They have no control over their actions, over their thoughts, over their body and the likes. Then this individual is considered to be insane. This individual is considered to be insane and he's excused. But if the individual has a psychological illness, for example, they have visions and whispers and the likes of that, but they still have control over their actions, then there's no excuse for this person not praying. قل السائلة: ما هي عورة المرأة مع ولدها وفي أي سن تبدأ؟
إذا بلغ الولد الذكر سن التمييز وهو إكمال 7 سنين فإنها يجوز لها إبراز وجهها له وكفيها وذراعيها وساقيها، فإذا تجاوز 10 إنها تغطي ذراعيها وعضديها، ولا مانع أيضا أن يرى شعر رأسها وأمثال ذلك.
إذا تجاوز العشرة طيب تجاوز 10 فالمفروض تغطي؟
لا ما تغطي، ما بالنسبة لولدها ما تغطي، لكنها ما تبرز الشيء الذي لا يبرز، كأن ينظر لفخذيها وأمثال ذلك، لا تستر ما هذا الشيء.
نعم. The question was: what is the aura of the woman with her child, and what year does she begin? And the Sheikh mentioned, if the child completes sin at Tamiz, the age of distinction, which is 7, then of course the child can see, or the child can see the face, and he can see the hands, he can see the legs and the likes of that. But if the child reaches the age of 10,
إذا أكمل الولد الذكر 10 سنين لا تبرز الأم له شيئا من العورة المغلظة الذي هم السرة إلى الركبة. إذا تجاوز ذلك صار من أهل الاحتلام طلق الحلم صار مكلفا فتصدر أيضا الصدر والثديين وأمثال ذلك ولا مانع أن تكشف رأسها أمامك.
The Sheikh mentioned how people are taught, if the child reaches the boy reaches the age of 10, then the woman shouldn't show him anything of the major awrah, which is between the belly button and the knees. The mother should no longer show anything between the belly button and the knees. But if the child reaches puberty, once the boy reaches puberty, then she should also cover her chest. She should also cover her chest. But there's no problem in her showing her hair. There's no problem in her showing her hair, but she should cover other parts of her body. كذلك إكمال السؤال السابق إلى متى يجوز للولد أن يدخل على النساء؟
يدخل على النساء إلى أن يبلغ الاحتلام. إذا بلغ يعني أكمل 15 سنة أو احتلم، وهو الاحتلام الذي يرى في منامه كأنه يجانع فيحصل منه المني، أو نبت الشعر حول ذكره شعر الخشم، إن هذه الأمور الثلاثة هي علامة بلوغ الفتى. إن أكمل 15 سنة وهو لم يحتلم فهذا بلوغ. إن احتلم رأى في نومه كانه يجامع ثم وجد المني فهذا بلوغ. إن لم يحتلم ولم يتم 15 سنة لكن نبت الشعر الخشن حول ذكره فهذا بلوغ، فلا يدخل على النساء دخولا كما يدخل في الفتيان الذين هم دون ذلك.
نعم. In completion of the or continuation of the previous question, when is it permissible for the boys to go to see the females, to go into the room with the females? Sheikh mentioned until he reaches puberty. If the boy reaches 15, then he's no longer allowed to see the females. If the boy has a wet dream, likewise he's no longer allowed to see the females. Or if he gets the pubic hair around his privates, once again he's no longer allowed to see the females. These are the three things that make it clear that a boy has reached puberty. The one is if he reaches 15, or if he has a wet dream, or if he gets the pubic hairs around his privates. يقول السائل: رجل طلق امرأته وهي حامل ثم راجعها ثم ولدت ثم طلقها أثناء النفاس ثم راجعها ثم طلقها للمرأة الثالثة أثناء النفاس، فهل له مراجعتها؟
صحيح ليس له مراجعة، فما طلق 3 مرات كلها في فترة عجيزة، من خير الزوجين أن يتفرقا. الصحيح من كلام العلماء أن الطلاق في الحيض يقع وفي النفاس كذلك.
The question was: a man divorced his wife while she was pregnant, and then she had the child. Then he divorced her while she was in her postnatal bleeding. Then he took her back. Then he divorced her again while she was in her postnatal bleeding. And then the question is: can he take her back? The Sheikh said the correct opinion is he cannot take her back. The correct opinion is that he cannot take her back. He has divorced her 3 times, and even though he divorced her in a very short period of time, it's possible. He said the fact that he divorced her, Affan, the fact that he divorced her in a very short period of time, it's possible that it's better for them to be separated. And the most correct opinion, from the difference of opinion amongst the scholars, of the issue of does a divorce, which is pronounced during postnatal or prenatal bleeding or the menstrual cycle, does it count? The Sheikh said the most correct opinion is that it does count. So this divorce would be valid. يقول السائل حبيبك الله تعالى كيف نتعامل مع العنصرية وكيف نشرحها وكيف نشرحها للأولاد وهل يجوز السفر من المملكة نهائيا إن كان الأولاد يعانون من العنصرية؟
هذه ماذا يعني بالعنصرية؟ العنصرية قد فيها أن يكون الإنسان يتعصب لعنصر دون آخر، مثلا العربي يتعصب للعرب فقط. فالصحيح أن المسلم أخو المسلم، لا فرق بين عربي وغير عربي في الإسلام، الأخوة بين المسلمين سببها الإسلام. ولهذا يقول النبي مؤمنون في توادهم وتراحمهم كالجسد الواحد، إذا اشتكى منه عضو فدعا له سائر الجسد بالسهر والحمى. أما إذا كان عنصرية، عنصرية مذهب، فإن كان الشخص في بلد المذهب فيها مذهب بدعي يجب على أبي الأولاد ألا يسكن أولاده في مجتمع ضد عقيدة التوحيد وإيمان أهل الإيمان.
The question is, how do we deal with racism? And how do we explain it to our children? And is it permissible for a person to travel outside of Saudi Arabia permanently if the children are affected because of racism? The Sheikh mentioned Habibullah Ta'ala. I'm not sure. He mentioned I'm not sure what is being referred to. What type of racism is this person referring to? If the person is referring to, for example, one form of racism is that a person prefers a specific nationality over another nationality. And the Sheikh mentioned it. My advice for that is that the Muslim is the brother of the Muslim. And there is no difference between the Arab nor the non-Arab. And our brotherhood is based on our religion. Our brotherhood is based on Islam. As the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, the Muslim is to the Muslim like one body. If one part of the body has an ailment, the other part of the body feels the pressure or feels the sadness. So this is our religion, which is brotherhood. Can you mention, but if what's being referred to Unsuriya is a specific methodology, specific madhab that a person is referring, if this person is referring to, then the Sheikh mentioned, if for example a person is in a country or an area that practices a madhab which is innovation, it's an innovative madhab, then it is not permissible for a person to put his family in a place which the belief of that place is in opposition to the belief of Tawheed.
يمكن في الأسبوع الآتي يوم السبت قد لا أكون في الرياض، لكن يمكن الاتصال كأني في الرياض. فالأصل أنا لا أسلم، إن كان غبت الرياض فأنا أيضا غيب بقية الأسبوع بكاملة، وقد يلحق في السبت الثاني يعني ربما أني أروح المدينة. هذه لحبيت أذكرها، لكن تتصل يوم السبت. إذا كان ما في سفر فنكون على نفس المجيء، إذا كان في سفر وإذا يا الله تعالى.
The Sheikh Habib Allah Ta'ala mentioned that it's possible, there is a chance that next week he won't be in Riyadh. If he is in Riyadh, he will give the lesson. But if he's not in Riyadh, he would let us know so that next week will be cancelled and we will continue the following week, inshallah ta'ala.